His daughter was just 2 years younger than Jimmy. Their family came over for dinner around the holidays sometimes. But this was not that Yanni. Some sort of terror seemed to have him by the throat.
"Yes," he said, bobbing his head. "Your father won't let me in. Won't let any of us in. But you..."
It seemed impossible, but Yanni's eyes grew wilder. "Can you buzz me?" Jimmy started to ask, nudging the turnstile. Yanni grabbed Jimmy by his collar. Jimmy was no small boy, was growing into his adult frame, but the massive guard practically lifted him over the turnstile as if he were a sack of dirty laundry. Jimmy struggled in the man's fierce grip. Yanni pressed the end of the pistol against Jimmy's chest and dragged him down the hall.
"I've got his boy!" he yelled.
To whom? It wasn't clear. Jimmy tried to twist free. He was hauled past offices in disarray. The entire level looked cleared out. He thought of all the coveralls in silver and grey on the stairway earlier, and feared for a moment that his father had been among those he'd passed. The crowd had been littered with people from this level, as though they'd been heading the charge, or were the ones being chased.
"I can't breathe," he tried to tell Yanni.
He got his feet beneath him, clutched the powerful man's forearm, anything to take the pinch off his collar.
"Where'd you assholes go?"
Yanni screamed, glancing up and down the halls.
"I need a hand with this."
There was a clap, like 1,000 balloons popping at once, a deafening roar. Jimmy felt Yanni lurch sideways as if kicked. The guard's grip relaxed, allowing the blood to rush back to Jimmy's head. Jimmy danced sideways as the large man tumbled over. He crashed to the floor, gurgling and wheezing, the black pistol skittering across the tile.
"Jimmy!"
His father was at the end of the hall, half around a corner, a long black object under his armpit, a crutch that didn't quite reach the floor. The end of this too short crutch smoked, as if it were on fire.
"Hurry, son!"
Jimmy cried out in relief. He stumbled away from Yanni, who was writhing on the floor and making awful, inhuman sounds. He ran to his father, limping and clutching his arm.
"Where's your mother?"
his dad asked, peering down the hall.
"The stairs!"
Jimmy fought for a breath. His pulse had blurred into a steady thrum.
"Dad, what's going on?"
"Inside! Inside!"
He pulled Jimmy down the hall toward a large door of stainless steel. There were shouts from around the corner. Jimmy could see the veins standing out in his father's forehead, trickles of sweat beading beneath his thinning hair. His father keyed a code into the panel by the massive door, and there was a whirring and a series of clunks before it opened a crack. His dad leaned into the door until there was room for the two of them to squeeze through.
"Come on, son, move!"
Down the hall, someone yelled at them to stop. Boots clumped in their direction. Jimmy squeezed through the crack, was worried his dad might close him up in there, all alone, but his old man worked his way through as well, then leaned against the inside of the door.
"Push,"
he said. Jimmy pushed. He didn't know why they were pushing, but he'd never seen his dad frightened before. It made his insides feel like jelly. The boots outside stumped closer. Someone yelled his father's name. Someone yelled for Yanni. As the steel door slammed shut, a slap of hands hit the other side. There was a whir and a clunk once more. His dad keyed something into the pad, then hesitated.
"A number," he said, gasping for breath. "Four digits. Quick, son, a number you'll remember."
1218,
Jimmy said. Level 12 and level 18. Where he went to school and where he lived. His father keyed in the digits. There were muffled yells from the other side, soft ringing sounds from palms slapping futilely against the thick steel.
"Come with me," his father said. "We've got to keep an eye on the cameras. Have to find your mother."
He slung the black machine over his back, which Jimmy now saw was a bigger version of the pistol. The end was no longer smoking. His father hadn't kicked Yanni from a distance. He had shot him. Jimmy stood motionless while his father set off through the room of large black boxes. It dawned on him that he'd heard of this place, that his father had told him stories of a room full of servers. The machines seemed to watch him as he stood there by the door. They were black sentries, quietly humming, standing guard. Jimmy left the wall of stainless steel with its muffled slaps and muted shouts and hurried after his father. He'd seen his dad's office before, back down the hall and around a bend, but never this place. The room was huge. He favored one leg as he ran the full length of it, trying to pick his way through the servers and keep track of where his dad had gone. At the far wall, he rounded the last black box and found his dad kneeling on the floor, as if in prayer. Bringing his hands up around his neck, his dad dug inside his overalls and came out with a thin, black cord. Something silver danced on the end of it.
"What about Mom?" Jimmy asked.
He wondered how they would let her in with the rest of those guys outside. He wondered why his father was kneeling on the floor like that.
"Listen carefully," his dad said. "This is the key to the silo. There are only two of these. Do not ever lose sight of it, okay?"
Jimmy watched as his father inserted the key into the back of one of the machines.
"This is the comm hub," his dad said.
Jimmy had no idea what a comm hub was, only that they were going to hide inside of one. That was the plan. Get inside one of the black boxes until the noise went away. His dad turned the key as if unlocking something, did this three more times in three more slots, then pulled the panel away. Jimmy peered inside and watched his dad pull a lever. There was a grinding noise in the floor nearby.
"Keep this safe," his father said. He squeezed Jimmy's shoulder and handed him the lanyard with the key.
Jimmy accepted it and studied the jagged piece of silver amid the coil of black cord. One side of the key formed a circle with three wedges inside, the symbol of the silo. He teased the lanyard into a hoop and pulled it down over his head, then watched his dad dig his fingers into the grating by their feet. He lifted out a small rectangle of flooring to reveal darkness underneath.
"Go on, you first," his father said.
He waved at the hole in the ground and began unslinging the long pistol from his back. Jimmy shuffled forward and peered down. There were handholds along the wall. It was like a ladder, but much taller than any he'd ever seen.
"Come on, son, we don't have much time."
Sitting on the edge of the grating, his feet hanging in the void, Jimmy reached for the steel rungs below and began the long descent. The air beneath the floor was cool, the lights dim. The horror and noise of the stairwell seemed to fade, and Jimmy was left with a sense of foreboding, of dread. Why was he being given this key? What was this place? He climbed down mostly using his good arm, made slow but steady progress. At the bottom of the ladder, he found a narrow passageway. There was a dim pulse of light at the far end. Looking up, he could see the outline of his father making his way down.
"Through there," his father said, indicating the slender hallway.
He left the long pistol propped up against the ladder. Jimmy pointed up.
"Shouldn't we cover the..."
"I'll get it on my way out. Let's go, son."
Jimmy turned and worked his way through the passage. There were wires and pipes running in parallel across the ceiling. A light ahead beat crimson. After 20 paces or so, the passage opened on a space that reminded him of the school stockroom. There were shelves along two walls. Two desks as well, one with a computer, the other with an open book. His dad went straight for the computer.
"You were with your mother?"
he asked.
Jimmy nodded.
"She pulled me out of class. We got separated on the stairs."
He rubbed his sore shoulder while his father collapsed heavily into the chair in front of the desk. The computer screen was divided into four squares.
"Where'd you lose her? How far up?"
"Two turns above 34, he said, remembering the fall.
Rather than reach for the mouse or keyboard, his father grabbed a black box studded with knobs and switches. There was a wire attached to the box that trailed off to the back of the monitor.
In one corner of the screen, Jimmy saw a moving picture of three men standing over someone lying still on the floor. It was real. It was an image, a window, like the cafeteria wall screen. He was seeing a view of the hallway they'd just left.
"Fucking Yanny," his father muttered.
Jimmy's eyes fell from the screen to stare at the back of his dad's head. He'd heard his old man curse before, but never that word. His father's shoulders were rising and falling as he took deep breaths. Jimmy returned his attention to the screen. The four windows had become 16. His father leaned forward, his nose just inches from the monitor. He peered from one square to the next. His old hands worked the black box, which clicked as the knobs and dials were adjusted. Jimmy saw in every square the turmoil he'd witnessed on the stairway. From rail to post, the treads were packed with people. They surged upward. His father traced the squares with a finger, searching.
"Dad!"
"Shh!
What's going on?"
"We've had a breach," he said. "They're trying to shut us down. You said it was two turns above the landing."
"Yeah, but she was being carried up. It was hard to move. I went over the rail."
The chair squeaked as his father turned and sized him up. His eyes fell to Jimmy's arm, pinned against his chest.
"You fell?"
"I'm okay, Dad. What's going on? Trying to shut what down?"
His father returned his focus to the screen. A few clicks from the black box and the squares flickered and changed. They now seemed to be peering through slightly different windows.
"They're trying to shut down our silo," his father said. "The bastards opened our airlock, said our gas supply was tainted. Wait, there she is."
The many little windows became one. The view shifted slightly. Jimmy could see his mother pinned between a crush of people and the rail. Her mouth and chin were covered in blood. Gripping the rail and fighting for room, she lurched down one laborious step as the crowd coursed in the other direction. It seemed as though everyone in the silo were trying to get topside, as if that were the only escape. Jimmy's father slapped the table and stood abruptly.
"Wait here," he said.
He stepped toward the narrow passage, stopped, looked back at Jimmy, seemed to consider something. There was a strange shine in his eyes.
"Quick now, just in case."
He hurried in the other direction, past Jimmy, and through a door leading out of the room. Jimmy hurried after him, frightened, confused, and limping.
"This is a lot like our stove," his father said, patting an ancient thing in the corner of the next room. "Older model, but it works the same."
There was a wild look in his father's eyes. He spun and indicated another door.
"Storehouse, bunk room, showers, all through there. Food enough to last four people for 10 years. Be smart, son."
"Dad, I don't understand."
"Tuck that key in,"
his father said, pointing at Jimmy's chest. Jimmy had left the lanyard outside of his overalls.
"Do not lose that key, okay? What's the number you said you'd never forget?"
1218,
Jimmy said.
"Okay, come in here. Let me show you how the radio works."
Jimmy took a last look around this second room. He didn't want to be left alone down there. That's what his father was doing, leaving him down between the levels, hidden in the concrete. The world felt heavy all around him.
"I'll come with you to get her,"
he said, thinking of those men slapping their hands against the great steel door. His father couldn't go alone, even with the big pistol.
"Don't open the door for anyone but me or your mother," his father said, ignoring his son's pleas. "Now watch closely. We don't have much time."
He indicated a box on the wall. The box was locked behind a metal cage, but there were some switches and dials on the outside.
"Power's here." His father tapped one of the knobs. "Keep turning this way for volume."
His father did this, and the room was filled with an awful hiss. He pulled a device off the wall and handed it to Jimmy. It was attached to the noisy box by a coil of stretchy cord. His dad grabbed another device from a rack on the wall. There were several of them there.
"Hear this? Hear this?"
His father spoke into the portable device, and his voice replaced the loud hiss from the box on the wall.
Squeeze that button and talk into the mic.
He pointed to the unit in Jimmy's hands. Jimmy did as he was told.
I hear you, Jimmy said hesitantly, and it was strange to hear his voice emanate from the small unit in his father's hands.
What's the number? His dad asked.
1218, Jimmy said.
Okay, stay here, son.
His father appraised him for a moment, then stepped forward and grabbed the back of Jimmy's neck. He kissed his son on the forehead, and Jimmy remembered the last time his father had kissed him like that. It was right before he had disappeared for 3 months, before his father had become a shadow, back when Jimmy was a little boy.
When I put the grate back in place, it'll lock itself. There's a handle below to reopen it. Are you okay?
Jimmy nodded. His father glanced up at the red, pulsing lights and frowned.